The Punter's Mate with Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson for Racing Queensland.
And a very good morning. Welcome to the program. Friday rolls around again. It's been a massive week all around the country. Of course, the focus on Melbourne. We've had race meetings at Ipswich yesterday, Eagle Farm, and we've got Sunny Coast tonight and Callaghan Park today as well. But anyway, Chris Nelson, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. It's been a massive week, as you'd expect. Melbourne Cup week and a very successful one too.
And how was your cup day?
I worked all cup day, so you can stop laughing. I worked all cup day, so
what
was
in
very,
the yard? Painting? No. What did you actually do? You didn't watch the races, did you?
Yeah, well, I was at the desk working away and doing form for other meetings, but it was a really enjoyable day. I mean, I was cheering loudly for Incentivise, but I thought, obviously, a great run, but beaten by a better horse on the day.
Oh, absolutely. And look, you know, it was a gallant performance from Incentivise. I didn't have a bet in the Melbourne Cup. I have look, I'm not a huge punter and I'm not like yourself following the form, etc. But I do have one rule vis-a-vis the Melbourne Cup. And that is that I don't like backing favourites in the Melbourne Cup because their record is pretty poor. And sadly, for Incentivise, that was the case again on Tuesday. Not that the run was poor, but that the fact that, you know, one of the shortest price favourites ever, let alone the favourite, just kept me out of the Melbourne Cup.
Very, very heavily backed and saved a few bookmakers. A massive payout did Incentivise. I think the best way to play the Melbourne Cup, and it's been proven over the last few years, is to go with the trifectas and the first fours because they pay enormous.
Absolutely.
They really do.
And it was a pretty small one on Tuesday because, you know, very elegant, and Incentivise would have been popular with a lot of people. And Spanish Mission was one of those.
That's right.
Very highly regarded overseas horses. So,
and I think the trifecta still paid $300 or $400. Depends
which
where
is
you
not
were.
Much for the Melbourne Cup. Which is not much for the Melbourne Cup. Because I thought I got a Melbourne Cup one year and thought I might be able to retire basically on it. But sadly dipped out, yes. The Melbourne Cup normally pays at least four figures.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm not sure what the first four paid, but yeah, there you go. So, look, it was a great result. 10th Group 1 for that mare. She's just outstanding.
Yeah, extraordinary. And James McDonald and Chris Waller, their first Melbourne Cups. But what a spring that James McDonald is having. And what a last, what, 5 years?
Well, he rode,
at least Chris Waller's had?
In the last few weeks, he's ridden the winner of the Everest. He's ridden the winner of the Melbourne Cup, probably others that I've forgotten. He's got Nature Strip again tomorrow down the straight in the...
And Zaki?
Yeah, and Zaki tomorrow is obviously a chance as well. So there's the other two Group 1s possibly sewn up as well for James McDonald. He's doing very, very nicely.
What about your highlights from the week?
Well, that is my number one highlight, the Melbourne Cup, obviously. Look, to see James McDonald very emotional after the race, I mean, I spoke to Paddy and Hills about it this morning. The Everest, obviously, it's a very rich race, but it just doesn't have the tradition of the Melbourne Cup. And to see, and he could see that. I mean, James had won the Everest on Nature Strip, but there he was with his head in his hands, looking to the skies, all sorts of different things. The emotion was great to see from James McDonald. Chris Waller, we didn't see him. I believe he was crying, but that's normal for Chris Waller because he does a lot of that when he wins. So obviously winning his first Melbourne Cup was something to behold as well. So that was my highlight of the week, number one. Second, Melbourne Cup again, Incentivise's run. I thought, and we discussed it this morning, Mark, before we were off air, that we thought he'd be finishing out of a place at the 300-metre mark because he'd gone very elegant and loomed up. He looked as though he was going backwards, but gee, he fought, didn't he? Mm. He just kept on going, and he fought those other ones off. Still
and
managed
with
to
with
run
a sore leg. Too.
With a sore leg, he had some heat in his leg there after the race. All's okay now, which is great. And my third highlight was Apache Chase, of course, in the $7.5 million Golden Eagle last week at Rose Hill. Ran fourth, earned connections $376,000. Jimmy Byrne, obviously now in quarantine, and we're going to chat to Jimmy a little bit later, just after 9 o'clock, and see what he's doing in quarantine. But that was an outstanding effort. They went hard in the race. Apache Chase sat outside the lead and was the only leader to really hold on and figure in the finish.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrific run, and look, even though at the top of the rise there, or top of the straight at Rose Hill, you sort of thought, okay, maybe, but it wasn't going as well as the others around it and did really well to hold on, I thought, Apache Chase.
Hit the front at the 300-metre mark and was joined at the 200-metre mark, but it didn't fold. It'll come back here now. Interesting to see where the horse is going now. I'd suggest a summer carnival.
And I thought, just finally, yesterday in the Twitter Trophy, I thought Flash R's run was pretty good. as well, Maddie Wishart, who missed out on last week because of COVID. She hadn't had a second vaccine. They changed the rules on her and had to pull out of the Group 1, which would have been her first Group 1 ride. We spoke to her on the program, a couple of weeks back. I thought Flash R's run was pretty good. I thought, you know, with 300 to go, it was going to finish last.
It was an interesting run because she got caught wide early and she had to either go back or go forward. No use sitting out there. You've got to give yourself no chance at all. So she went forward, probably not where she wanted to be, but she did the right thing. And as you say, the horse looked as though it was just going to be near enough to last and then just got to go on in the straight. Now, that suggests that he's looking for further. That was 1,800 yesterday, 2,000 metres. I think he's staying for one of the country cups or maybe more, 2,000 metres or so. He could run a race.
I'll catch up with Maddie Wishart tomorrow on the Darling Down Low and find out what's going to happen with Flash R and what her thoughts were with the emotional rollercoaster of being in a Group 1, then not in a Group 1, and then riding at Flemington on Oaks Day, and what is the future for Flash R. But after the break, we're going to speak with Larry Cassidy.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Who we haven't had on the program before. This is The Punter's Mate, and it's all thanks to Aquis, Australia's leading stalling facility, and Racing Queensland. Queensland is racing. The action continues right across the state, and we're only 2 weeks away from the summer carnival.
We are officially 2 weeks away from the kickoff, which is at the Sunshine Coast for Mooloolaba Cup Day. But next week we have a listed race, the Keith Now. So as far as I'm concerned, next week it
starts.
You
said this last year as well, so there we go.
You've got a good memory.
We better take a break.
The punt is made for Racing Queensland.
Yeah, Queensland is racing. Action continues right across the state. And Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, standing 16 well-credentialed stallions. Visit aquisfarm.com. We've been on air for 13 months now, Chris, maybe 14 months. And remarkably, we've never spoken, never had this guest on our program until today.
Yeah, Larry Cassidy, we've asked to come on for a chat, and he's very kindly accepted our request. And the reason for it, Mark, is that I think he's been flying under the radar a little bit of late. So I wanted to chat to Larry and see if he agrees. Good morning, Larry.
Yes, good morning.
Have you been flying under the radar lately? You've got a very good strike rate, just working away quietly in the background with a lot of winners.
Look, I think I've just been getting on a couple of nice horses and, you know, possibly getting on them at the right time and not getting many rides. So if you do that, well, your strike rate tends to be pretty good.
Yeah, last 50 rides, you've had 8 winners and 15 place getters. So it's a 16% win strike rate and 46% for the place. Now, Larry, you've ridden, I was doing some research, you've ridden in one spot I found 40 Group 1 winners, but somewhere else I found 42. Now, you would definitely know the right number.
Yes. Yeah, it's 42. That's including New Zealand, two in Singapore. I won the Singapore Derby twice, and I think 36 in Australia or 35.
And
one
of course,
or the other.
Yeah, that's all right. What's one between 36 and 35? And you've ridden some of the some of the champions and the best horses we've had in the country. Obviously, Sunline, I'm tipping, would be your favourite.
Oh, look, Sunline and Winx.
Well, Winx, yeah, of course you rode Winx when she went up the Sunshine Coast and kicked off that. Now, that's interesting. That's a good point. Did you think that day, wow, this is a horse that's going to go on, and I know you wouldn't think, 30-odd straight, but would you have thought that she was going to go on and get anywhere near the heights that she did reach?
Well, I had an inkling that she was very, very good because on the way home I rang my wife and which I do every time when I get in the car. And, obviously my wife was really ecstatic over the win because it was a pretty amazing win. And, and she said to me, what do you think? And I said to her, I said, she could be the best horse I've ever ridden. And, and my wife went, really? Like, and rattled off, horses like Sunline and Saintly and Juggler and Desert War and, all that could be considered champions. And I said, I know, I can't believe that I'm saying it. So, yeah, I did have an inkling, but to think that she was going to go unbeaten from there, well, no one would believe that, would they?
No, not at all. If only you could have kept the ride too.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but I knew it was a one-off. So, and actually I had knee surgery about 5 weeks after that, which actually put me out of the saddle for about 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't have been able to get the chance. Just looking back through your career, you obviously got a big break when you started riding for Crown Lodge. John Hawkes, we know he's a very hard taskmaster. He would have given you the odd spray, I would have thought. Was that a bit hard to take at times?
Yeah, you probably got used to it though.
Did you come back sometimes thinking, oh, I'm going to cop it here?
Well, I was usually pretty straight up and you know, said, you know, I didn't ride it good or slaughtered it and what have you. And, you know, usually if you beat him to the punch, it wasn't so bad. But, you know, I think I rode more good ones than bad ones.
Larry, has it been 10 years since you've been in Queensland? Time gets away. You've ridden...
Yes, it has been about 10, maybe 11, actually.
Yeah, so you've mentioned New Zealand, Singapore, obviously all around Australia as well. How, from a jockey's perspective, is it? Does it take time to acclimatise to different areas in where you race because the racing is different?
Yeah, slightly. You know, like I rode in Macau and Malaysia as well, and you know, the speed in those countries, they go very fast, which is when I first come to Queensland is what they do. But I did ride before I actually moved to Australia. I did quite a lot of riding at in Brisbane. I did, so you know, I had an idea of what it was like, and obviously rode up here over the carnival successfully. So you know, there was always, you know, good speed in races, but that's changed a lot over the last few years because of field sizes and I suppose riders not wanting to go as fast early. So but field sizes has probably been the biggest change over the last 5 years. Like when I first came up, there was 18 horses in every race. Now there's, yeah, when I look at it, tomorrow's fields is, you know, an average of 9 in every race.
Is that due to the number of meetings that we have?
Oh, most definitely, and probably the horse population has declined a little bit too.
I'm reading an article here, Larry, that was written probably 2 or 3 years ago that you hope to be riding for another 5 years. That gives you about 2 or 3. Is that still the case, or are you happy to keep on going further than that?
Look, I'll probably keep going, you know, providing I'm still enjoying it and getting the opportunities. And, you know, if I wake up one morning and go, I don't want to do this anymore, well, that'll be it.
What would you do then? Would you become a trainer?
Oh, hell no. Imagine putting up with jockeys.
At least you could give them a spray. No, you wouldn't. You'd be nice to them, surely.
Oh, I think I would, yeah. I think I'd be pretty good.
Larry, what's
although the... those trainers, they turn pretty quick. And their jockeys, they turn pretty quick to become trainers. They must go to some special school, I think.
What's the one biggest change you've noticed in racing in your time?
Well, I think prize money's been, you know, obviously, you know, a significant change, especially in Brisbane, because, you know, obviously Brisbane, you know, was quite a way behind the rest of the country, and, you know, they've, you know, prize money's been boosted significantly, and I can see only probably getting better. You know, obviously Sydney and Melbourne have just obviously taken off, but you know, you've got higher prize money but smaller fields, which is which is disappointing.
Now back to the racetrack, a couple of good rides over the weekend in particular. I'm keen on Vital Source tonight at the Sunshine Coast, and of course Go Wonji picked itself tomorrow. That was a breathtaking win last start.
It was pretty exciting, wasn't it? He's very impressive. And obviously I watched all his runs, you know, because I hadn't really seen the horse run. So obviously I watched all his runs and, you know, even on those smaller tracks carrying huge weights, you know, I've seen that he had a massive finish and, you know, and could even sort of sustain a longer run. That's why I wasn't sort of too worried when I had to come out at the 500 and just start letting him to sort of stride forward under his own steam. But, you know, then he got to 300 and he just accelerated, which really sort of, which really surprised me. And, it was a fantastic feeling. You know, that's what, as a jockey, that you sort of live for, to get on a horse that can accelerate like that.
Yeah, interesting to see what he does tomorrow. Now, Vital Source tonight is another horse that put in a really strong dash when winning at the Sunshine Coast 2 starts back. 1,400 looks ideal tonight.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And, like, last start, like, I suppose everyone thought she'd just win like I did last start at Ipswich, but yeah. I just found she really struggled to make ground from the 500 while we were turning, and obviously the bigger track tonight's really going to suit her and give her a chance to really let down. So, yeah, the 1,400 looks great. She's drawn well, so yeah, she looks very hard to beat.
Larry, really appreciate your time this morning, mate, and good luck over the weekend, and hopefully we can chat again soon. Thanks for your time.
Yep, thanks very much.
Thanks, Larry.
Good on you, mate. Larry Cassidy there, one of not only Queensland's but Australia's leading jockeys when you consider the career that he has had. There's plenty of jockeys around today who would gladly put their hand up and say, I'd like a career like that when I finish.
Back in the day when he was riding in Sydney, won three premierships straight, and he was top of the pile.
Yeah, and it's remarkable to think that you can sit on a horse one time and think that that's the best I've ever ridden.
When he's ridden Sunline previously.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. We better take a break. This is the Punter's Mate on this Friday morning, and it's all thanks to Aquis, Queensland's largest stallion facility, standing 16 well-credentialed stallions. Visit aquisfarm.com.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet. Download the Crossbet app today and gamble responsibly. 1 800 858 858. Time to say good morning to Scott Cross. Morning, mate. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good, mate. How was your Melbourne Cup day?
It was, as you could imagine, with Incentivise getting run over the top by Very Elegant, it was actually a good day for the bookies.
Yes, I could see they were all smiling as they left. And, anyway, the opportunity for punters to strike back tomorrow because it's stakes day.
It is. So in the McKinnon Stakes, look, it's probably no great surprise that Zaki is the biggest hold for us. However, it's pretty widely spread, and this McKinnon Stake matchup is quite good. There's some really good horses in the field here. I mean, money's come for a Cascadian, Holmesman. Mwanga is the market mover, opened at 9 into 8. We've seen money coming for Private Eye. However, I'm going to go against the favourite here, and I like two horses of value. The James Cumming horse, Colette, at $4.80. I see some value in there. And one that I certainly can't put a line through is the Frankel horse, Hungry Heart, at $10. I think Hungry Heart is one that you certainly can't rule out in this one, and that's where my money will be going.
What about the Daily Sprint?
Daily Sprint? Look, it's all one-way traffic, as you can imagine, when it comes to the Daily to the Sprint. At this current stage, we're holding over 75% of our hold is on Nature Strip. Mm. It's all one-way traffic, $1.35. There's a sprinkle of money for Streets of Avalon. The market mover is Shaquero, but the hold is tiny. Look, I just can't tip against Nature Strip, and I think it gets it done very, very easily.
NFL this morning, Thursday night football, Friday morning, of course, our time. We've got the Indianapolis Colts against the New York Jets. The Jets had a win last week.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, we had their backup rookie first starting quarterback, Mike White, throwing for more yards than any other quarterback of the round, beating Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady. It's certainly a big feat. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts don't have the best secondary out there. And at +10.5, I'm going to take the Jets line here and see if Mike White is as good as what his first game shows.
Yeah, over 400. I think I heard earlier today too that first Jets quarterback to throw for more than 400 in quite some time as well. Australia v the West Indies, big win this morning, or last night I should say, over Bangladesh at the T20 World Cup. The West Indies are out. They can't make the semi-finals. Australia can, but we need to beat the West Indies and hope that South Africa don't beat England and run rates, etc. If we can look after ourselves against the West Indies, how is the market there?
Yeah, look, it certainly hasn't been Australia's best performance here in the T20. I mean, there's been batting line chains up. Look, the money is all on Australia. We are $1.30 v 360. Look, I think Australia has to get this done, and we will get it done quite easily.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. That's tomorrow night, of course, Australia v the West Indies. Good on you, mate. We'll chat again next week.
Take care.
There he is, Scott Cross from Crossbet. Freshen up your punting this spring with Crossbet, Australia's freshest sports betting app. Download the Crossbet app today. Gamble responsibly, 1-800-858-858. For those stations leaving us now, hope yourselves a great weekend. McKinnon Stakes and the Daly Sprint tomorrow, the cricket, a whole lot of sport. V8 supercars, of course, are back as well. We'll look forward to your company next Friday morning from 8:30 Queensland time. And for those that are staying with us, Jim Byrne.
Yeah, looking forward to Jim.
In quarantine, we'll find out how he's going after Apache Chase's great run last week in Sydney. All that and more after the news, which is next.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
And Queensland is racing right across the state. Mark Braybrook and Chris Nelson with you on this Friday morning. Today, we've got a night meeting tonight at the Sunny Coast, and they're at Rocky today as well. Harness Racing Redcliffe, Greyhounds at Albion Park. Tomorrow, Eagle Farm, Aquas Park, Gold Coast, Toowoomba, Moranbah, Cooktown, Chinchilla, and Mount Isa. Harness Racing at Albion Park and Ippy and Townsville for the Greyhounds. Sunny Coast back on Sunday. Marburg, the trots on Sunday. And Albion Park and Capalaba.
Well, a little bit too busy this week, Mark, but I tried to fit it in, but maybe
I'm going to follow
week.
You one day and find out exactly how busy you are, because I don't believe you. Now, in the lead up to McHappy Day, Saturday, November 13, grab a pair of silly socks from Macca's for just $5. All profits go towards helping seriously ill kids and their families at Ronald McDonald House Charities. Available at participating restaurants, Chris, while socks last.
I bought 3 pairs 2 weeks ago.
Well done.
Yep, got mine. Okay. I can guarantee you that.
Well, how about you wear them next week to prove it?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay.
I don't think I'll wear them all the way here.
Who's going to see? Or what do you walk here or something? Well, I mean, who's going to be looking at your feet when you're driving?
What if I break down or something and I have to change a tyre or something like that? Look a bit odd by the side of the road with my thongs on and a pair of...
Well, you're not the only person in thongs. Now, follow, fold or forgive?
Only 2 this week. They both come from Eagle Farm, one on Saturday of last week and one on Tuesday. We'll start with the Saturday one last week. Stella Magic, who put in such a good run first up, I thought was probably the run of the day there on Saturday, did win the race and only got home by a small margin, but was one of few horses to come from the back of the field on the day, and I thought was a very good win. So we'll be winning more races with Stella Magic for the O'Day Hoisted Stable, who are having a enormous run at the moment.
Yeah, they're going really well, aren't they?
Winner after winner after winner. Their strike rate's through the roof. So that's good for them. Simply Fly, trained by Rex Lipp at Toowoomba, ran second to Kylie, one of the O'Day Hoisted horses on Cup Day. Kylie was ridden by, I'm sure it was ridden by Steph. Simply Fly ran on well against the fence. That's 2 runs at 1,000 metres. He wants further now. He wants to get out to 1,200 metres. And when he does, he'll be winning. So Simply Fly and Stella Magic both follows.
Garibaldi?
I'm not sure where we'll see him. Don't be surprised if we might see him next Saturday in the Keith Nowt. If we don't, we might see him at the Sunshine Coast, but he wouldn't be far away. Maybe one more trial. I'll try and find out from Tony Golan if he's not in next week.
I would have asked you for an update on April in Augusta, but you've got one.
I've got one.
Yeah, right.
I got a message through from Kelly Schweder that the filly is back in pre-training. So that was it.
If I was able to finish my sentence, I was going to say, I was going to ask you for an update on April in Augusta.
Yes.
But I don't have time, because if I would have asked you that, I would have had to give you the update on my 6 horses that I now own with Ian Healy.
Now, I've got a 2.5% share. I want to know what your share is in your 6.
I have no idea, but I haven't paid much. And it's all with the Racing League, who are great supporters of us here on SEN.
Yeah.
So Heels, Brixie, who panels us and Paddy and Heels, and Heels, Brixie, me and Paddy have bought in one of our little things. So Heels now thinks that because he's got 2 shares in it, one on his own and one with us, an SEN Queensland thing, that he thinks he can decide who's going to be the jockey on Greylander. For a start, the Big Goodbye won last week with Leah Kilmer. So it's all in the same house.
Yep.
So Ben Thompson rode Greylander in the trial last week. So Heels got him on, told Steph to hand the phone to Ben. And then this week, Heels said to Steph, I'll get you the ride on Greyland.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I'll speak to... I'm an owner.
Rather large controlling share in the...
I don't think he does, but I think he believes that he has some sort of say. A little bit like you with April and Augusta.
I've got no say.
Yeah. So now Ben will just be riding track work and trials, and Steph will be when Greylander starts, according to Heels.
Does Tony Golan know about this?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah.
I don't think so. So, but anyway, Heels thinks he can control who rides his horses, as he says. So there you go.
About that.
Just another example of how, owners can think that they decide what happens.
I want to know out of the lot of you who's going to get to go to the winner's room. And
I think they draw it like a raffle.
Yeah, I was going to say. You can't all get in there.
Well, they were there last week because the Big Goodbye one on Saturday at Eagle Farm.
And so I think one of the Melbourne ones won on...
On Derby Day.
Team Captain or...
Team Captain. Like it used to be Captain Yulong Captain. Now it's Team Captain.
Yeah.
Anyway, One of our guests, regular guests, and it's always great to talk to him, is back in quarantine. Jim yes. Byrne, who was down for the Golden Eagle last week, and as we mentioned, it was a really gutsy run from Apache Chase. We thought we should catch up with Jim to find out how he's coping, give him someone else to talk to.
He's got nothing else to do.
No, exactly. Morning, Jim. How are you? Hang on. Morning, Jim.
Hello.
How are you? Yeah, mate. We didn't press the button. How are you, mate?
You didn't want to talk to me at all.
No, we want to talk to you. You want to talk to anyone
it's
at the moment.
A bit like my manager.
How are you?
My managers don't want to talk to me these days anyway.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Look, it's obviously quarantine's a little bit difficult for a lot of people, myself included. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm 5 days in now, so it's all downhill from here.
Well, mate, you and Chris know a lot more about racing than I do, but watching that race last week, the Golden Eagle, geez, it was a gutsy run from Apache Chase. Did you feel that as well?
Yeah, look, Des had him in great order. He was just, he was beaming in the yard. He looked sensational. It was always going to be a really tough race. You know, you got some of the best four-year-olds in the country going for the race. And for mine, I thought, we're easily a top three shot at the race. And we only got nosed out for third, but I actually thought the horse in the middle section, we had a horse sitting out three deep and probably racing at my girth, which I think it was Azar or whatever it was, just made him just that middle section where he had been relaxing nice and getting that breathing going properly. And it just meant that he was not only racing the leader, he was racing the horse on his outside, not dissimilar to the Wheatwood win. But, you know, look, for mine, the horse's run was, you know, massive and, it was way full of merit. And, Des told me that he pulled up really good after the race and, it took no ill effect from the travel down and for mine, the horse, I credit himself well.
Were you happy to sit outside the lead, Jim, when you got there? I know that horse, as you mentioned, three wide on the outside didn't help things, but taking us through the race, were you happy to land there early on?
Yeah, well, for mine, straight out of the barriers, the last thing I wanted to do was just chase him too much. I just wanted to let him begin on his own terms, and he did that, and he slowly just builds up his momentum. And when Timmy didn't want to lead, I was pretty happy to just cruise along. And sure enough, we've seen Friedman horse go forward. And I was pretty comfortable thereafter. I just thought, okay, let's just get him into his rhythm. And again, as I said, in that middle section where you want him to just switch down and breathe correctly, it just meant that he was just working a little bit too much. And it just cost me that little bit late.
Jim, you're an experienced jockey. You've ridden in some of the, you know, the great races the country has. The Golden Eagle, $7.5 million. Sydney is really trying to attack Melbourne in the Spring Carnival and make their carnival big as well. Did you feel that there at Rose Hill on Saturday, that that atmosphere with the crowds back and they seem to be enjoying themselves, and the fact that it was a $7.5 million race?
Yeah, look, without a doubt. Probably there wasn't any real pressure or anything like that. Like riding in a Melbourne Cup, you could really feel the atmosphere and the pressure. Probably the nicest thing is that there really was no pressure, because ultimately Des and Mike Sheeran, they just gave me plenty of confidence. They were just confident in the decisions I was going to make on the horse. And so you never really felt any pressure, but the atmosphere was amazing. Those sort of races, they don't come around for us Queenslanders too often. It's unfortunate that we don't have those sort of status races here in Queensland. We have our Stradbroke and our Derbies, but unfortunately, it doesn't really drag that sort of money in. Whilst the Stradbroke's amazing, it's a different sort of level again, and it's the atmosphere. You can hit, the crowd was just insane. Mm. So when those sort of races bring that sort of Melbourne Cup prize money, it just brings them, it brings the crowds and the atmosphere with it.
Jim, do you know what Desley's got in mind for Apache Chase now? Are you going to see the horse over the summer months?
Look, as far as I was aware, we briefly spoke about where she was heading and whatnot. And for mine, I kept saying, well, I mean, like, we can't go back for the Eagle, but there's another big race down there that, I mean, like, look, the horse is a great sprinter as well. I mean, like, we're pushing him out to the 15 in the mile. But I know the horse has got, when he's on fresh legs, he can run you some sort of time. So, you know, I mean, like, there's other bigger races than the Eagle. So, I don't know. I don't think that's on their cards, but for mine, he's a horse that can accredit himself well in those sort of bigger races.
Mate, you said you're 5 days in, so what's that, about nine to go or eight to go, whatever it works out at. How are you keeping fit? What happens when you get out? It sounds like you're in jail, but you basically are, I suppose. So what happens when you get out, and how long before you'll be back riding?
Oh, look, I'll it's pretty hard in here because I tried to stick to a routine. You do your push-ups, sit-ups, and I do a lot of walking, funnily enough, in here. It's just I'm not one to sit down and just watch a TV or something like that. Even this morning, breakfast come along, and I don't really eat breakfast sort of scenario. You'd much rather work out and, you know, probably have it for lunch or something like that, but you just try to stick to a routine, and for mine, it isn't easy. But you know, look, ultimately, I'll try and keep myself as fit as possible. And when I do finally come out, I think it's next Sunday. When I do finally come out, I'll probably take a couple of days just to smell some fresh air, because you don't get any fresh air. I'll get back into it then.
That was going to be my question. Have you got a balcony? But you answered that one. Obviously not. Sam Collett was telling us that she was getting Uber Eats delivered when she was in quarantine. Have you been able to do that? Or have you tried?
No. Well, no. Not. I got my wife on speed dial, and as I said previously, my manager doesn't like talking to me too much when I'm in quarantine. I hound him a fair bit, so. I don't really try to overindulge or anything like that. It's for mine. You're very mindful of the way you're going to come out. You can't really do the exercise you normally would do when you're out, and so you just got to try and keep your mind and your body in the same sort of fitness level, which it's not going to be. But when I get out, I'm going to need a couple of days to get over it.
Well, mate, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for your time this morning. I thought it was a terrific run from a gallant run from Apache Chase. Try and stay sane, and we'll catch up when you get out.
Good on you, boys.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Jim. Jimmy Byrne there. Did you not feel like you're talking to someone in jail?
Yeah. It must be hard
when you
to
get
be
out,
upbeat,
you know?
That's for sure. I mean, think of how much weight you
can
put
on. So he hangs
the
phone up now. What does he do?
Goes back to walking or sit-ups or... Geez, you'd really want a balcony to get that fresh air.
Yeah.
That'd make life a lot easier.
Look, a couple of days, you'd most probably, the novelty would wear off pretty quickly. Oh, yeah. And this is the second time he's done it too.
Yeah.
And so you can understand a lot of these sports people are traveling around the world, the cricketers, et cetera, have been in all these bubbles and quarantine on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
And it's the luck of the draw as to what sort of room you get.
I think
you're right.
I mean, I know people that have got, someone's got a 3-bedroom apartment with a balcony, which is for one person. You don't know others that have got a shoebox.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we better take a break because we'll catch up with Shane Shirley on Toowoomba, get your weekend forecast as well. This is the Punter's Mate, and it's all for Racing Queensland. For the latest Queensland racing news, meetings and form, visit racingqueensland.com.au. Get racing right across the state. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
The Punter's Mate for Racing Queensland.
And now, thanks to Aquas, Australia's leading stalling facility, time to say good morning again and find out what's happening on the Darling Downs. Shane Chirlio, good morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
How was your Melbourne Cup day?
It was good, actually. I didn't do a lot of betting, just had a couple of bets from back to a couple of winners and cheered in centre-fives. I couldn't find the cup winner. Had it in my sort of top four numbers, but couldn't find it on top. But huge effort from the Toowoomba horse. So it was an enjoyable day.
And Flash R was pretty good yesterday in the Twitter Trophy. I thought Gallant to hang on to finish, I think it would finish about seventh. I think
would
Flash
have been beaten less than two lengths too.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty strong run from Flash R and Matty Wishart, who we will speak to tomorrow morning on the Darling Down Low. The highs and lows of being a jockey, missed out on the Group 1 because the horse had to be scratched because she didn't have her second vax. And then riding at Flemington on Oaks Day. Swings and roundabouts, but she was good.
Yeah, for sure. I think the horse actually went a lot better than what it looks as well, because the pattern of the day, there was a lot better. There's a number of well-supported horses that had the same sort of run in transit that Flash R did and dropped right out. It just wasn't the place to be yesterday facing the breeze and then sort of staying on that inner part of the track. So I thought the horses ran enormous, and you'd think it would take a great deal of benefit from that run heading into maybe a Ballarat Cup or something next up.
I'll be interested to hear you guys chat to Matty, because I expected the horse to settle back in the field and use that pattern that was the pattern of the day. But, I mean, she got caught wide. She had no option, really. She had to either go back or go forward. So she had no option other than sit out three wide. So she went forward and the horse ran well. But, gee, if the horse had been saved up for a crack at them late, it might have been a chance.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. I thought it would have been a top three chance if the race had been run the other way. Considering the margin, it looked like it was going to get beaten a long way.
Yeah.
When it came off the bridle, didn't it? And then it kept boxing on really strongly. So
anyway, Toowoomba tomorrow night, a seven race program. You got a couple we can look out for?
It's pretty simple, straightforward sort of day, Mark.
I've heard that before.
Bruce here. Well, you just start with Eagle Farm Race 2, number one, first leg of the multi, go Wanji.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe they're giving us like $1.40 or whatever it is. That's like almost stealing.
Better than bank interest.
Only has to stay sound to win. It certainly is. Just straight into Race 3, number one. I'm not sure what price we get here. But if it gets beat, I'll need a spell.
this is Festival Prince.
Festival Prince, it's that much better than them. Jasmine Corner should be in for an armchair right here. Just wouldn't matter where she settles.
Just on Jasmine, I'm not familiar with Jasmine Cornish. Are you familiar with her? Has she had a lot of rides?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, no problem. Riding around this grade, she's ridden plenty of winners and can win from the back and in front as well. So that's important. You know, she can navigate her way through a field as well, so holds no fears there. I think she's got a fairly good book of rides, and I expect her to be hard to beat in race 4, number 1, Laurie, as well. So I think her 3-kilo claim will be something that we used around Toowoomba a little bit more regularly now, and we spoke about Angela Jones plenty of times, and her claim will soon disappear, and Jasmine will be the next apprentice jock that'll get plenty of good rides, I'm sure, in the coming months.
That's good to know.
So go Wanji into Festival Prince. Anything else?
Yeah, race 4, number 1, Laurie. I don't mind this horse. I think he's got a bit of ability. It's a Matt Cropp horse. It's been sort of handled pretty well coming through the grades, and I think it'll come off a really nice trial win at the start of October, and it looks set to run a big race first up here.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for that. So race 3, number 1, Festival Prince. Race 4, number 1, Laurie. And that can be an all-up with Go Wanji at Eagle Farm tomorrow. So we'll talk to you tomorrow morning on the Darling Down Low. Our last one for the year. So look forward to that.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. Shane Churlio there. It's all thanks to Aquas, Queensland's largest stallion facility, home to Pierrata, Invader, Brave Smash, Dubious and more. Visit aquasfarm.com. Chris Nelson's weekend forecast.
Well, should we start tonight at the Sunshine Coast, Mark?
You can if you want, if you've done some work on that.
I
don't want that work to go to waste, Chris.
No, you would not. If you followed me around like you said you were going to, you'd know that. Race 4, number 4.
No, I said I might. I said I'd think about following.
I got a feeling you might have been. There's a strange car behind me a couple of times in the traffic. Race 4, number 4, Deep Tempest. Ryan Maloney and David Van Dyke combined. Deep Tempest has had the one start. Ran on very well here over 1,200 metres. This is not a strong field. 1,400 metres looks ideal. Good gate. And I suggest that he'll probably settle around midfield, no worse. So race 4, number 4, looks the best of the night. The next race, race 5, number 14, Larry Cassidy's ride here. Vital Source Very good winning here, two starts back. Absolutely bolted in by three lengths, ran away from them, 1,200 metres, went to Ipswich, and Larry did say, and I agree with him 100%, just did not handle the tighter turning track at Ipswich, but still ran on well late, was only beaten, I think, less than half a length on the line. So that was a good effort. Back to the bigger track, 1,400 metres, I think can run very well, Vital Source. And when I looked yesterday when the prices went up, it was around $5, quickly into $4 something, now into $3 something. So the punters out there agree. So at race four, number four, race five, number 14, tonight.
Tomorrow.
Eagle Farm. Now, as Shane said, Go One, she's a moral, race two, number one. There's another moral there for your multi, and this is your multi, Mark. This is right up your alley.
Okay.
Go Wonji into Shamaton. They're $1.40 and about $1.50.
Okay.
Okay. And on paper, they cannot lose. Things can happen, as we know, as they did last week, but on paper, they look unbeatable. So there you go. Race six, number two, Ligulate. Very good run at 1350 at Doomben last time. Third up this time around. That's when he starts to hit his straps fully. 1,500 metres tomorrow is ideal. He'll get back. He needs pace on, and he'll get that. There's some good speed up front. He'll be able to run them down, I think. That's race six, number two. And one for Steph. Race seven, number nine, Nikki's Spirit's been going great guns, winning at Ipswich and the Sunshine Coast, her last couple. So she's going for the hat trick here. She's drawn a good gate around midfield. Not a strong field. It's a restricted zero metropolitan win race. I think Nikki's Spirit can get away with it. It was around $4 or $5 last time I checked.
Yeah, I think she mentioned yesterday with Paddy and Heels that that was her best for tomorrow. She had a couple of good rides, she said, tomorrow, but that was certainly one of them. I haven't even had looked or bothered yet. Boris Watch, but he's most probably on the Gold Coast.
Boris
tomorrow.
Has been riding very well.
He has. Damien in the Melbourne Cup. Leah Kilner rode the big goodbye last
and
week.
And Ben will be
well.
Back in, what, a week or so?
Yeah. Not sure whether he'll get the ride on Greylander, but he will certainly continue doing he'll continue doing trials for us. We'll have a meeting about it, but anyway.
The major share owner seems to be pushing
He might be back in a month, maybe. But, Boris will be somewhere on the Gold Coast tomorrow. I haven't had a look, I don't think, yet.
No, neither have I. So, look, he's been riding a lot of winners, and using Heels' theory, he does seem to ride them early in the day.
He does. He certainly
that's because he's only just come back, so he's getting a little bit tired, but now he's right.
Yeah, he has actually been riding really well.
He has.
So there's no question about that. Just quickly repeat those for us again.
Sunshine Coast tonight, race four, number four, and race five, number 14, and Eagle Farm tomorrow. Those two morals, race two, number one, and race four, number six. And we'll go with race six, number two, and race seven, number nine.
Have yourself a great weekend, mate. We'll chat again next Friday on The Punters, mate. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Shane Churlier, talking all racing on the Darling Downs with the Darling Downlow. Have yourselves a great weekend. That is it for this edition of The Punters, mate.